In August of 2005, Newsweek and BeliefNet asked just over 1,000 Americans what they believe and how they practice their faith. Among the questions was this one: can a good person who is not of your religious faith go to heaven or attain salvation or not? And here's their answers. The evangelical Protestants, 68% said yes, 22% said no, 10% said don't know. The non-evangelical Protestants, 83% said yes, 10% no, and 7% don't know. The Catholics said, 91% said yes, 3% said no, and 6% said I don't know. Non-Christians, 73% said yes, 3% said no, 24% said I don't know. The total of these numbers is that 79% of the people interviewed in this poll said yes, a good person can go to heaven even if they're not of my religious faith. 12% said no, 9% said I don't know. These responses are interesting, because most people believe that those of different faiths are going to be saved. And among Catholics and more liberal Protestants, that view is overwhelming. Even the majority of those who view themselves as evangelical agree. And this is going to suggest that most people believe that many people are going to be saved. Let me ask you, is that true? Jesus was asked a very similar question in Luke 13 and verse 23, where they asked him, are there few who are saved? And he spoke on the subject of who will be saved. So let's notice what he taught. First of all, he stated that few will be saved. So many people think that most are going to be saved. Or to put it another way, that most of the people that you know and that we include as friends are going to be saved, that they're going to go to heaven. Jesus taught that few will be saved. In Luke 13, beginning in verse 23, Jesus said, they said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. In Matthew's account, it reads this way in chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I suggest that we would do well to remember that in Genesis chapter 7, that during the flood of Noah, only 8 souls were saved. Peter states in 1 Peter 3 and verse 20 that who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. He states in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. In Genesis chapter 19, again, a few people were saved. Only 3 souls escaped the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Only 2 men out of over 600,000 over the age of 20 were allowed to enter the land of Canaan, according to Numbers 14 and Numbers chapter 1. So sadly, there will be few who find the way that leads to eternal life. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 14. And what is the way that leads to life? What is the way that leads to eternal life? Again, we turn to Jesus because he taught about this. He says he is the only way. So many people think that all religious people are going to be saved. And as some put it, it really don't matter what you believe. We're all going to the same place anyway. And yet Jesus taught that no one comes to the Father but through him. So if I want to go to heaven, I have to do what Jesus says do. I cannot base my precepts of heaven and entering heaven upon what some man's religion tells me. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, we go back to Matthew 7 in his Sermon on the Mount. And he states in verse 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? But he states in verse 23, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Again, we would do well to remember the example of Cornelius, a religious person who needed salvation. In Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, we read about the qualifications of Cornelius, how he was a man in Caesarea, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Verse 2 said he was a devout man, a good moral person, and one who feared God with all his household. We read of his qualifications. He gave alms and generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour, verse 3 tells us, of the day he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he had observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname was Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. I learned from this that just living a good moral life is not enough to get me to heaven. I must come to Jesus through Jesus to inherit eternal life. In Acts chapter 11, as Peter is recounting this, he states there that he was told that Peter would be one who would tell you by words which you and your household will be saved. We have the example of other religious people who needed to be saved, who needed salvation. In Acts chapter 2, we read about the devout Jews on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 8, we read about the devout Ethiopian returning from worship in Jerusalem. We read about Lydia, a devout worshiper of God who kept the Sabbath, Acts 16. And we read about a certain man by the name of Saul who was very devout, doing what he thought was the Lord's will, Acts 26. And then again in Galatians 1 and verse 14. So what I learned from this is that being religious is not enough. One cannot truly be a Christian who believes that salvation can be found outside of Jesus Christ. But we note that Jesus also taught salvation is for those who obey his commands. Again, many think that all who believe in Jesus are going to be saved. Again, that's not true. We are saved, they believe that we're going to be saved, that we're saved by faith only, that we have no need of obedience, that all you have to do is say a sinner's prayer. Where in the Bible do you find a sinner's prayer? Yet Jesus warned of those who believed in him but were lost. Again, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. They believed in him to be their Lord, but they spent their lives what they thought was service to the Lord, but it's not according to the will of the Father. And we again would do well to remember that Jesus is the author of salvation to all who obey him. Just to say that I believe in Jesus is not enough to get me to heaven. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 5 and verse 9 that having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The end of those who don't obey his gospel. Paul writes about this in 2 Thessalonians 1. Beginning in verse 7, he says, And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible does not speak anywhere of a Baptist Christian, a Methodist Christian, a Pentecostal Christian, Church of God Christian, a Presbyterian Christian. It only speaks of Christians who believe and follow the teachings of Jesus. Verse 9 there, Paul writes that these who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Not all believers are going to be saved. I mean, the Bible teaches us that even the demons believe and yet tremble. James 2 and verse 19. Some in the New Testament era believed, but they were unwilling to confess Christ. In John chapter 12, beginning in verse 42, we read, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were afraid of him. They did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." You know, I had a conversation while working on a machine in a factory several years ago, and the fellow told me that, "I know that what you're saying is right, but I can't come out of my religious belief," and this is a quote, "because if I do, I will condemn my grandparents, my granny and my papa." How sad is it that we're not willing to change what we believe because of family pressure, societal pressure, that we're more willing to go along with what I've always been taught that some man has told me I have to do in order to obtain salvation, instead of doing what Jesus tells me to do. Believing that many, if not all, are going to be saved is a very comforting doctrine. It's a view that's praised as being tolerant and loving. But if we really desire to follow Jesus, then we have to abide in what he teaches. In John chapter 8, beginning in verse 30, "And he spoke these words, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'Abide in my word. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" The truth is, few will be saved. The truth is, Jesus is the only way. And the truth is that salvation is only for those who do the will of the Father. Now, of course, God wants all men to be saved. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 3, that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Because there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has provided his Son as the perfect sacrifice and as the perfect mediator." So the question is, are we going to believe and obey his Son, or what some man has told us that we're to do to obtain salvation, which if you study and think about it, is contrary to the will of God? Now, as I've said most weeks when you listen to this radio program, you may disagree with this, and I rightly expect that some will. But the question I have for you is, And some of you have told me that I don't make you mad because I preach the truth. If I'm preaching the truth, why don't you listen to it? Why don't you obey Jesus? If you want to talk to me, you can look me up on Facebook or look me up on the church's website, churchateastside.com. Thank you for being with me.